A reading from the beginning of the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the holy ones and faithful brothers and sisters in Christ in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father. We always give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, when we pray for you, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love that you have for all the holy ones because of the hope reserved for you in heaven. Of this you have already heard through the word of truth, the gospel that has come to you. Just as in the whole world it is bearing fruit and growing, so also among you, from the day you heard it and came to know the grace of God in truth, as you learned it from Epaphras, our beloved fellow slave, who is a trustworthy minister of Christ on your behalf, and who also told us of your love in the Spirit. Verbum Domini. I trust in the mercy of God forever. I, like a green olive tree in the house of God, trust in the mercy of God forever and ever. I will thank you always for what you have done and proclaim the goodness of your name before your faithful ones.
The Lord be with you.
And with your spirit.
A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
After Jesus left the synagogue, he entered the house of Simon. Simon's mother-in-law was afflicted with a severe fever, and they interceded with him about her. He stood over her, rebuked the fever, and it left her. She got up immediately and waited on them. At sunset, all who had people sick with various diseases brought them to him. He laid his hands on each of them and cured them. And demons also came out from many, shouting, "You are the Son of God." But he rebuked them and did not allow them to speak, because they knew that he was the Christ. At daybreak, Jesus left and went to a deserted place. The crowds went looking for him, and when they came to him, they tried to prevent him from leaving them. But he said to them, "To the other towns also I must proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent." And he was preaching in the synagogues of Judea. The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise to you, Lord Jesus Christ.
Well, my brothers and sisters, it's good to be here this morning. And Father Matthew, thank you for allowing me to be here. Always a pleasure to see you and to be able to celebrate Mass with you this morning. And so today we celebrate this great feast of Pope St. Gregory, or St. Gregory the Great, who was a doctor of the Church and who was Pope in the late 6th and early 7th centuries. He was pope from the years 590 AD to 604 AD, a total of 14 years he served as pope. And so it's fitting that this morning the church gives us these readings, the reading from St. Luke's Gospel and the letter from St. Paul to the Colossians, because all of these readings today sort of help us to understand what it means to be a disciple and a follower of Jesus Christ. And we hear in our gospel this morning from St. Luke how Jesus comes to the home of Simon Peter, and he discovers that Simon's mother-in-law is very, very sick with a severe fever, as St. Luke says. And they, presumably Simon Peter, his wife, and possibly other family members, intercede with Jesus. They ask him to cure her. And just take a note of this intercessory prayer, the power of intercessory prayer, when others come to Jesus to ask for favors for those who are not themselves, for the good and the welfare of other people. And Jesus does not hesitate to heal Simon's mother-in-law, and she gets up immediately and begins to minister to Jesus and the others, presumably with just the duties of hospitality as they were in her house. And so we need to note that Jesus comes to Simon Peter's home, and he hears their prayerful requests and intercessions, and he immediately responds. But Jesus doesn't just heal Simon's family. He goes out, and we hear in the gospel that he heals all who were sick and all who were brought to him with various diseases, and he laid his hands on them, and he cured them all, and he drove out demons, whom he did not allow to speak because the demons knew who Jesus was. And so after all these amazing and miraculous events, of course, the people wanted Jesus to stay with them. They intercede with him to say, please stay with us. We don't want you to leave. It was so wonderful, I'm sure, to be in the presence of our Lord and to witness all these wonderful things. But Jesus says to them, and he says to us, that I must go to the other towns also and to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, because for this purpose I have been sent. So Jesus then goes to these other towns and villages throughout Judea. And Jesus continues to seek out the people of God, to teach them, to heal them, to forgive them, and to bring them back home to the Father. So perhaps maybe we could fast forward a little bit in the story of Jesus, and we go to the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, chapter 28. And in the end of St. Matthew's Gospel, Jesus has instituted the Eucharist. He suffered a horrible death on the cross, pouring out his entire life for the forgiveness of sins and for the salvation of the world, and is now getting ready to return to the Father in heaven. And his last words to his disciples before he ascends to the Father in heaven were these words. And Jesus came to them and said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always to the close of the age." And so Jesus gives this great commission to his disciples to go forth, to go into the entire world, to teach and to preach and to heal and to forgive. And so St. Peter, St. James, St. John, St. Andrew, all the apostles, and of course, St. Paul and St. Barnabas and St. Timothy, all are very good disciples of Jesus. They listen to his word, and they go ahead and take the word that they were given from the Lord and start spreading it throughout the entire known world. They go forth to preach the gospel just as Jesus had instructed them. And they go to the world to proclaim this good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. And so we hear in our first reading from the letter of St. Paul to the Colossians that he and Timothy greet their fellow Christians with great praise and thanksgiving and peace, for they have heard the word of God, and they believe in Jesus, his Son. And he commends them for their belief. He commends them for their willingness to hear and to listen and to follow Jesus. And then St. Paul tells them that the gospel, the word of truth, is spreading through the entire world, bearing fruit and growing among all the peoples. And so just as St. Peter and St. Paul and all the original disciples and apostles and all the followers in the early church are sent forth to go and preach about Jesus and tell the world who Jesus really is, so too the early church bishops and popes are found doing this exact same thing. They are tasked and are found to teach the whole world about Jesus Christ as their Savior. And so today's saint, Pope St. Gregory the First, is honored in a very special way in the church today. Pope St. Gregory the First is also known as St. Gregory the Great. And St. Gregory lived at the end of the late 6th century, and he had a very interesting life. He had a life of very wealth and privilege, and he actually had a lot of service to the civilian government, to the secular authorities in Rome. He served as prefect of the city of Rome, which was not an ecclesiastical position. It was a civil position with great authority in the city of Rome. And he had that because his family had great wealth in Sicily and Rome. They had a lot of property and wealth. And so he was very well educated, and he certainly served in a very high secular capacity. But he resigned his secular position around the age of 30 to become a Benedictine monk. He went to a monastery in Rome, a Benedictine monastery in Rome, and he became a priest. He was ordained a priest. And because of his experience in secular affairs and dealing with the city of Rome and its politicians, the Pope sent St. Gregory to serve as a special papal representative to the Eastern churches, to Constantinople. And then after 6 years, he returned back to his monastery to live a life of a monk, a quiet life of a monk in prayer and reflection. But that was not to be, because after he was elected abbot and was serving in his monastery, he was elected pope at the age of 50. And so it was in September 3rd in the year 590 AD, this very day, those 1600 years ago, that Pope St. Gregory was elected pope. And he was the first monk to ever become a pope. So we would think, oh, maybe that was a great thing for Pope Gregory, but actually it was not such a great deal, because Pope Gregory inherited a city and a church and a world that was really falling apart. It was being invaded by the Lombards. There was constant attacks on Rome. There was clergy that were not very faithful. He inherited a church that was in great difficulty, maybe not so much different than we feel today. And so he talks about the need to repair and to take care of the church. And this is what St. Gregory wrote a couple years after he was elected pope. In the year 593, St. Gregory wrote these words: "We see what has become of her who once appeared the mistress of the world." He's talking about the city of Rome. He says, "She is broken by all she has suffered from immense and manifold misfortunes, ruins upon ruins everywhere. Where is the Senate? Where are the people? We, the few who are left, are menaced every day by sword and innumerable trials. Deserted Rome is in flames, her buildings also." So we can hear that it was pretty dire and pretty daunting for Pope Gregory to have to try to address all the needs of not only the church, but also the city of Rome, his beloved Rome, and where he had served for so many years. But St. Gregory was not deterred by this hard task. He was not set back by what was required. Pope Gregory was noted to be very direct and firm with the members of the church. He removed unworthy priests from office. He forbade them from taking money for many services. He emptied the papal treasury to ransom prisoners from the Lombards and to care for persecuted Jews and the victims of plague and famine. He was also very concerned about the conversion of England, and he sent 40 monks from his own monastery to England to begin to preach and to teach in England. And so he's known not only for his reform of the church, but also reform for the liturgy and for strengthening respect for doctrine. Of all these things, he also wrote a fair amount too. One of his famous writings was a book called Pastoral Care. It was a treatise on the duties and qualities of a bishop, and was required reading for many centuries after his death for men who were asked to become bishops. Pope St. Gregory described bishops mainly as physicians whose main duties were preaching and the enforcement of discipline. And in his own down-to-earth preaching style, St. Gregory was skilled at applying the daily gospel to the needs of his listeners. He is called the Great by the historians of the church, and St. Gregory has been given a place with St. Augustine, St. Ambrose, and St. Jerome as one of the four key doctors of the Western Church. And so as we recall and remember our Lord's great disciples and all they have done, and particularly today on this great feast of St. Gregory the Great, we realize that all of them took our Lord's words very seriously to go forth, to baptize and to teach and to bring God's word to the people. And so just as Jesus taught his disciples, we take time today to thank God for the gift of St. Gregory. And we thank God for all the wonderful saints that he has sent to us to help us to grow in our own faith and our own faith journey. We thank God for St. Benedict and his sister, St. Scholastica. We thank God for St. Francis and for St. Clare. We thank God for St. Dominic, St. Ignatius of Loyola. We thank God for St. John Paul II, St. Mother Teresa, and we could go on and on and on. But God has given us all these wonderful and faithful men and women, including our own folks who are here with us today, our own Franciscan friars and priests here of the Eternal Word, all the poor Clares, all the sister servants who we know and who help us so many ways in our own diocese and around in our church today. All of these men and women who daily seek to bring the gospel to our world and very much needs it. For all of them, we praise God and give thanks to God for their faithfulness to our Lord Jesus Christ. So it's said that St. Gregory loved to preach on the gospel, and he often closed his homilies with a moral teaching. And so while I am in no way able to touch the brilliance or the spiritual insights of a doctor of the church, perhaps I can offer maybe one last thought about today's gospels. Jesus comes to the home of Simon Peter. He comes by invitation, and he listens to their prayers for a sick relative, and he immediately heals her. And then he goes out and heals all who came to him and all who were brought to him by others so that they too can live a good life and a holy life. So today at this Mass, perhaps we can ask our Lord and invite our Lord into our homes and into our lives. Our Lord, our divine physician, we ask him to touch us and to heal us personally, first for ourselves. But let us also pray for others. Let us use that gift of intercessory prayer. We pray for the welfare and the benefit of others who need our prayer, in our families, in our communities, at our workplace, in our schools. We pray for all our friends and our neighbors. We pray for our wounded communities and even nations who are in great need of healing. We pray to God our Father and through Jesus his Son for healing, forgiveness, for an end to war, and for a reign of peace. And so perhaps, as we close, let us again listen to the words from our responsorial psalm. The psalmist says, "Trust in the mercy of God forever and ever." And again, the psalmist says, "I will thank you always for what you have done and proclaim the goodness of your name before your faithful ones." So my brothers and sisters, let us ask our Lord to help us to not only be thankful for God's great mercy and his forgiveness and all the gifts that he's given us, but let us be faithful to proclaim his name to our neighbors, our friends, and to our wounded world.